Mouth Radio. I have my very special guest. He's our patron saint. He's Lloyd Kaufman, the famous filmmaker and author who co-founded Troma Films. You know his work, The Toxic Avenger, Tromeo and Juliet, The Class of Nukem High, and this is where a lot of very familiar faces and names came out of here. This is Robert De Niro, Sam Jackson, Costner. Lloyd's also written the book, All I Need to Know About Filmmaking, I Learned from The Toxic Avenger. Lloyd, how are you this morning?
Morning, David. It's great to be here.
Welcome, man. We're gonna talk about all of the films coming up, right, for the academies and
oh,
so forth.
Great.
I want to get your opinions and your thoughts on all of this. But actually, I've been practicing my narrating voice, okay?
For Poultrygeist.
Yes.
Right?
Poultrygeist. Okay, turn off the music here. Here we go. Poultrygeist. What do you think?
It's good. Just don't cluck it up when we get going. We're serious. We're writing the narration for you, David.
Okay.
We are writing.
Well, this is going to be my debut, actually, in film, and I haven't told my agent.
Did you say gay-but? Now, speaking of gay-but, this is kind of the year of the gays when you talk about Oscars, right?
This is not my gay-but.
It's a debut.
But there has been a gay-but. Have you seen Brokeback Mountain? Are you familiar with that?
I've seen it. It's the story of my life. Brokebackside Mountain is terrific.
Stay out of the tent. What do you think? Is this going to win the awards or what?
Well, you know, no, I don't think it will win the awards because all the Brokeback Mountain jokes have been told. And also, it didn't really take enough risks. Originally, it was going to be about Glenn Holland, or however you pronounce his name, and a romance with a sheep. But they always compromise out there. And
they got cold feet, huh? They got cold paws, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So what do you think is going to be the front runners? What are you picking?
Well, I hate to wax poetic, but this time of the year is just such a wonderful time, you know, the time of the Oscars, when all these wonderful people get to come out of the limelight and go into the limelight. It's the only time of the year when America's greatest get to congratulate each other. It's the only time of the year, other than the Golden Globes, the SAG Award, the DGA Award, the NAFTA Award, and the other 37 People's Choices Award, where they actually come out there and you have a room full of beautiful people, and except for a few ugly ones who directed and gave 10 years of their lives to write the material. And
what do you think about at the Academy Awards when they get somebody like Chris Rock or somebody up there and they're having a little fun with the talent, or they're having a little fun with the way the talent dressed? Because this is a big issue now. You've got the Rivers and all the comedians.
That's what I love best. It's the pre-Oscar countdowns. It used to only be on one channel. Now you can get it on every channel. You can get the Calorie Challenge Star Jones or the Easy on the Looks scintillating deep intellectual Joan Rivers and her young basset hound, daughter, telling us, giving those hard-hitting interviews. You know, we can learn what those great Americans are going to be wearing.
Well, what's happening is a lot of the talent has taken issue with it, or at least their press representatives have. And when you get somebody like Isaac Mizrahi, who's got a great sense of humor out there, grabbing the girls and doing whatever a guy wish he could do, but he's going to get away with it. And he came under a heavy thumb for that, because they said that not only was he upsetting to the talent, but that the talent now dresses more conservatively.
Well, all I know is it's great to see them wearing all those big diamonds, and it's nice to know that these people who make $70 million a year, they can get all that jewelry for free. They can borrow it, doesn't cost them anything, and there's some little African kid in Somalia whose arm was chopped off by a warlord who can be proud when he's picking his butt and watching Charlize Theron with $1 billion worth of diamonds on her neck. That's wonderful. I'm so happy.
You think the Academy, it's written all over you. You have an aura like a burning tire.
Troma, the home of the Toxic Avenger. We're the only movie studio in history that's gone, we've been existing for 34 years, and we've never gotten a prize in anything. It's amazing, isn't it? And that's why we started the National Association of Book, Literature, and Art Association.
Who's a member of that, Lloyd? Who's
NAMBLA,
a member of
NAMBLA, NAMBLA. And we have these meetings, so we don't understand. We just can't understand why the police keep showing up.
I think that's the North American Man Boy Love Association.
No, it's the National Association of Book, Literature, and of Movies, Book, Literature, and Art. And it's so, the younger people and the older people together. We got a lot of celebrities. Interest too in the NAMBLA. Michael Jackson's interested.
What do you think about Batman?
The guy from Who is? Yeah, what's that?
What do you think about the Batman and the Sin City and the King Kongs that come out this year? Is this on the level of a traditional blockbuster summer fare, or are these getting smaller and smaller?
Well, Sin City, I was kind of disappointed in that one because it's you never got to see Jessica Alba naked. On the other hand, you didn't have to see Mickey Rourke naked, so that was a good thing.
I've watched a number of films specifically because there's a girl in there, that I never even pay attention to the script. I watch Transporter 2. I can't tell you what the plot line is. I can't tell you how it finishes, but I know exactly where every scene where the tall, skinny blonde with the short hair is in.
Well, that's where Crash comes in, because it's a crappy remake of Grand Canyon. But you do get to see Jessica Esposito's Mosquitoes.
It's a remake of what? Tell us, Lloyd.
Well, it's kind of a superficial, Grand Canyon was a sort of bourgeois thing with the, politically correct stuff, and that's kind of what Crash is. But you do get to see Esposito's Golden Globes, and of course you don't have to see the movie. If you go to MrSkin.com, you can probably get to see it without any of the movie bothering you.
I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman, coming out of the Troma Film Combine here. Which best picture candidate?
Mr. Skin will give me a free membership if I can, if now that I've plugged MrSkin.com.
I probably have to do it four more times before the end of the programming, but yeah, certainly. Tireless self-promotion is the American way, Lloyd. Yeah, that's why we're here.
That's right.
What's the best picture candidate that you would think would go to a Troma film production? Is there anybody out there that you think would be perfect for you who would actually go and work with you?
Well, I think the people that go to see a Troma movie in the cinemas are people who they may know they will love The Toxic Avenger. They may hate Terra Firma, but they know they will never forget Poultrygeist. They'll go on an adventure in the cinema. Now, they'll see something they've never seen before.
Well, tell me, because I'm going to be the narrator of this. What is the plot line actually of Poultrygeist like?
Well, Poultrygeist is the theme is sort of a big giving the finger to the food fast food industry. But in a nutshell, if you're actually in an eggshell, it's about a fast food establishment, chicken establishment, chickens, which is big in the news today. They have teeth and they have some sort of...
They're sentient beings, according to Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, they are. Okay. Well, they are. And they, the chicken establishment is built on the ancient sacred Indian graveyard, or Native American graveyard. The spirits of both the exterminated Indians and the exterminated chickens, the mass exterminated chickens, go into the restaurant and... Poultrygeist.
Well, don't give away the ending.
No. The chicken Indian zombies or casino-owning zombies or whatever you call them. Speaking of that, by the way, one of the great moments of the Oscars was Marlon Brando, who, as you remember, sent up Sachem, whatever her name was.
Something little, right? Or something,
yeah, yeah,
little feather,
yeah,
or something.
She made, nobody talked about Native Americans until then. People made fun of Marlon Brando, but that was a great moment. That's kind of one of the few good things about the Oscars is that you get somebody up there with an opinion every once in a while.
Sometimes it's written across their naked chest.
Well, that was that great moment what's her name? No, I can't remember her name. She's got a daughter, and there may or may not have been a flash of her nether regions that when she walked across stage. Who was that person?
I don't recollect. We'll figure it out.
We'll take your calls now, ladies and gentlemen. Who was the person whose nether regions were exposed in the Oscars?
You were a fan of Sean...
Ashley somebody. Right?
Ashley Simpson?
No.
She doesn't have any nether regions. She hasn't grown one yet.
O.J. Simpson, I can't remember.
What do you think of Shaun of the Dead 9/11, 9/11? Because that was something you had thought would be part of... the selection process last season, correct?
A lot of good movies are overlooked. Shaun of the Dead, probably the best movie of that particular year. Shaun of the Dead was marvelous. Now, there's a wonderful film. There's a great group of young people. You speak of the gay theme. There's a great group out in Hollywood Hills or Woodland Hills. Woodland Hills. They've been working together for a long time outside the mainstream. And it's very hard to find some of these movies, thanks to DVD. You used to be able to find them in the movie theaters, these sort of overlooked movies.
But, certainly.
But I was able to find this movie on DVD. I had to go to a little store over, I think it was 45th and 8th Avenue. And they've got thousands of movies you've never heard of. It's amazing. It's a wonderful film. It's called Strap on Sally Part 13. I mean, if you're a parent and you want to talk to your kids, about whether they,
It like truly is the stairway of heaven of adult video.
And the actors, I think they really are gay. The strap-ons would indicate it, but it could be they're just really good actors.
All the more is their achievement.
Anyway, for you film students out there, deconstruct that movie. Find out why it's such a home run. And, then there's Mrs. Henderson. Nobody's seen that movie.
What is Mrs. Henderson?
Mrs. Henderson Presents. She's nominated for an Oscar. Dame Judi Dench.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar with it.
For those
I have
of
not...
you who are not familiar with the plot, I know nobody's seen it, but it's Judi Dench plays a... She plays Simbok, a cyborg, futuristic ninja assassin who must travel back into time to fight against a coven of lesbian stripper elite who are trying to manifest a nuclear orgy on the world. And it's sort of like the Terminator, except a lot more sex and violence.
You've sold me. And this is Dame Judi Dench, who plays the part
film,
of 007's boss now, correctly?
Yep. It's a lot of times titles get in the way of these movies. Toxic Avenger, originally, that's a bad title because it's nobody knows this because they haven't seen it. It's the story of Marie, of the Nobel Prize winning scientist Marie Curie, when she had the radiation illness. It's titles can ruin the movie, and that happened with Judi Dench.
Sometimes it can make the movie, The Ancient Mariner, if it was called The Old Sailor.
Do you know that Poultrygeist, we were going to call Poultrygeist, the chicken movie, we were going to call that Good Night and Good Cluck, but this other movie came out.
You know, what's his name? Trump just had an issue like that with The Apprentice. You know, somebody came out with the same title, and there was conflict there.
Yeah, whatever. Martha Stewart, I believe, came out with this exact same title.
There's like a feud. What about the indies? Is there any decent indie that's going into the academies that sticks out in your mind?
Well, certainly Transamerica is pretty damn. I mean, Transamerica is a very good movie, and that's a marvelous film, and sort of a Thelma Louise kind of deal. And you were mentioning something about white people and black people.
Yeah, I was questioning whether black people are genetically superior in sports.
Yeah, your viewers should see Transamerica, because there's a shot of I believe that Felicity Huffman's a white person, but she had an enormous,
Bermuda Triangle? Backfield?
The banana. I don't want to say penis. But it was huge, and so I wonder if that's anatomically correct, because based on my own, it was like 100. You know, for a white person, that was an enormous. I got very upset by that. But other than that, it's a marvelous. It's really very touching. You'll cry.
So you think the acting today is every bit as good as it always used to be?
I would say that certainly the U.S. Congress, when they cry, when they get caught in those scandals and they cry, that's good acting. They definitely know the Stanislavski method.
Are we going to be discussing Heath Ledger in 20 years?
Well, I think that Glenn, the other guy, his sister Maggie, was in The Secretary. There's some hot footage, you know, and you can go to Mr. Skin probably and see her naked. You know, that other film, Good Night and Good Luck,
sure.
I downloaded it off the computer. There's got to be something wrong, because it came out all grainy and in black and white. So if you guys are going to download it, Good Night and Good Luck, make sure you get the color version.
And try and get the one with music, because the one I saw had no music either.
I haven't seen it, but I understand that it's about the... There's a tabloid muckraking journalist, and how he brings down this fabulous patriotic senator.
Well recommended. I'm talking to Lloyd, and Lloyd Kaufman is the fellow who brought us Troma Films. She's bringing us
David's first narration of Poultrygeist. Are you going to be David Lee Roth when you narrate Poultrygeist, or will you be just a beautiful anonymous voice?
As you wish, you know.
I think it should be David Lee Roth.
Okay, yeah, and I get a separate card? Or do I have to share a card?
Most people don't want credit in the Troma movies.
Oh, I
definitely. We've written a novel, Toxic Avenger, the novel that comes out in May, and the guy who really wrote it, Adam Junkie. He's like, I don't want my name on that thing, but I'm forcing him to put his name on it.
Oh, definitely.
It's a big scandal.
I want my own card. It's got to be right there. Yeah. And where will we do this? Where will I do narration? You have your own studio, right?
We should do it right here. Maybe your viewers can be part of it. Or they can watch you right here in the studio. And if not, you can go to the Troma building. We have a $90 microphone. It's incredible.
I'd love to do this.
In fact, you can see how we do it. If you get the Make Your Own Damn Movie DVD box set, you can see it's Film School in a Box. You can actually see how Troma creates the great sound for its movies. There's a whole section on sound.
And do you have your own band, or is this orchestration, or is this symphonic? What will I expect here?
Well, you'll have what you want. You know, we will provide the background. In fact, we can have the history of violins, if you like, playing and talk about it.
How long does it take to narrate
a
movie?
That's a good movie, by the way, Cronenberg. It's good beer and a good movie director.
I know it really well. How long does it take to narrate a movie for Troma Pictures?
Well, I think when you and I get together, I think it's going to be a one take. It's going to be Diamond Jim one take, Diamond Dave one take.
I'll take that as a compliment. Talk to me about the Independent Spirit Awards. Are we going to be up for that, or will we be nominated?
I think you will. I don't think I will. For some reason, I'm not exactly popular in the mainstream or the you know, the word independent has kind of been stolen. You know, when the New York Times writes stories at Sundance where they say, the Sundance unearthed the little movie that could. It's a $15 million movie with Pierce Brosnan and John Turtle Tubb, who's a major, major Hollywood director. And this is the little movie that could. Independent film, only $15 million.
Yeah, but it's got edge.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman. He's the main face coming from Troma Studios. Lloyd, can you hang with us just for a few more minutes?
Sure. Thank you.
Don't go away. Oh. We're going to pay for the program here. Get out. Off. Health Radio. I'm sitting here with Lloyd Kaufman. He's the main man behind Troma. Lloyd, welcome once again.
Thanks, David.
You're becoming the patron saint of the spirit in which we currently reside here.
Well, patronage is very important in American tradition.
So when are you going to start your own Academy Awards? When are you going to start the Troma-based Academy Awards for independent, true independent spirit? Go.
Well, the National Association of Music, Books, Literature, and Arts, you know, the NAMBLA, we may be getting out awards. Maybe, you know, with the young people.
I'm not going anywhere named
people.
NAMBLA.
By the way, it's for something for the Oscars, David. I brought you today a beautiful Tromet shirt. You could wear it. I suppose Trey Parker wore it.
No, I'm sure Trey did. But this actually belongs to Sasha, our young intern here. You like I say, like I tell Sasha, twinkle, twinkle, little star, like Clinton said, have a cigar.
Well, a Tromet. Oh, David. That's so
smoke them if you got them, huh, kids?
Yes, the Tromets, the Super Tromets would wear this very beautiful fashion statement.
Yes, well, it is a fashion statement. You got the little string on the top here. This is a muscle shirt, and it says Troma 30th Anniversary. You've actually been in existence for 30 years, right?
Well, this is more than 30 years.
And you've
we
always
can't afford the 34th anniversary shirt. Still using the 30th.
So we got the yesterday issue. Tell me what Killer Condom is about. This is a Troma DVD. It says Killer Condom, the rubber that rubs you out. What's the plot here?
That's a German film. That is a movie that we acquired at the Cannes Film Festival. And by the way, my wife is the New York State Film Commissioner. My wife, Pat Kaufman, has been New York State Film Commissioner. And she brings movies to New York. Now, I don't know whether she was responsible for, you know, it's very good for the economy to have movies filmed in New York. And Killer Condom is a all German movie. They speak German. It makes New York look like it's a German-speaking. So it's way ahead of Munich, the Steven Spielberg.
As opposed to being in Pakistani, which it would make New York look like New York.
Yeah, there you go. Nice, David. Very nice.
What about Mother's Day? This is the director's cut, though, so perhaps you speak to that, if you would.
Well, Mother's Cut is directed by Charles Kaufman, who also, by the way, directed When Nature Calls. Now, When Nature Calls, if you've seen the Good Night, Good Cluck, you will know that David Strathorn, you can see he plays a great Indian. In When Nature Calls, he played Weejin the Indian in When Nature Calls.
What's the name of the Indian?
Weejin, like the loafer. When like nature calls it. But Mother's Day is, of course, family history.
I love it. It says, I'm so proud of my boys. They never forgot their mama.
Yep.
This is amazing material. How many actual DVDs do you have out, Lloyd?
I would say that Troma has about 300. In fact, you can, if you happen to be in Orlando, Florida this weekend at MegaCon, the giant. You going to MegaCon this
Tell
year,
me about
David?
What this is, because we have one coming to New York. I'm a big comics fan, graphic illustration fan. But tell us where you're going, Lloyd.
Well, MegaCon is down in, it's a huge, I think they get about 30,000 fans of horror, science fiction, comic books, pop art, contemporary art. And I'm there as a guest, and we'll be, in fact, we may be, I think we're going to show the Poultrygeist music video, Calamari Safari music video.
Who's doing the music for these safaris?
Well, Calamari Safari did the theme song for Poultrygeist.
Oh, this is an actual group.
Yeah. I brought you, you have somewhere in the studio.
We have the song.
You actually have it.
Play the song.
This is the world premiere right now in the David Lee Roth Show of Calamari's Poultrygeist theme song.
This is the Poultrygeist theme song. I'm going to be the narrator. Here we go.
You're sitting at home and your stomach is bubbling. No food in the fridge and your hunger is growing. You hop in your car and head straight to get drive-through. Murder with fries described as fast food.
Poultrygeist. How did I do?
Nice, nice. But I think we're going to integrate you more into the plot of. You're so good that I think we're going to. We may put you over the graveyard. The most beautiful part of Tromaville is the graveyard and the graveyard scene in Poultrygeist.
So
when it opens.
So as a narrator, I might actually interact with the talent on the screen.
I think it should be David Lee Roth. There is kind of a godlike figure.
You mean, I think of it more
I'm
as
only a patron saint. You are a god in Tromaville.
I'm thinking of it more like Wizard of Oz, but with a little reverb.
You know, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Give us 866-313-3733 if you have a question for Lloyd. And I got one more for you here. With John Stewart, you're familiar with him and the work that he does. Is he not...
Very good bartender.
As a bartender, he's a great comedian. As
yes,
a comedian, he's a
funny.
Great part.
He's great, yeah.
He is superb. I'm wondering how much edge he's actually going to deliver because he's the narrator for the Academy Awards coming up, correct?
I'm sure it's going to be incredible, although he gets eclipsed by those incredible, you know, the Today Show, you know, Katie Couric when she shows those diamonds. And I just hope, I hope they don't talk about anything serious. Like, you know, there are 20 million, there's 4 million people that have been displaced in Darfur, right? There's hundreds of thousands of women and kids being cornholed and destroyed in Darfur. Genocide. It's about the 10th time in my lifetime that there's been this. And we're all talking about the diamonds and the Today Show. That's all they talk about. How long will it take for America's finest to get their hair ready for the Oscars? Let's focus on Darfur. It'd be nice if Mr. John Stewart talked a bit about Darfur. He's got a great opportunity to get the American people focused on it. They could call their congressman. They could get these guys.
He's
to do
not going to do that.
It.
Come on, Lloyd. On your driver's license under residence, it probably says Toy Cookie Fantasy Dreamland.
I think he's going to do it. I'm an optimist, David. He called me Pollyanna, but
I'm an optimist too. When
John
I go
Stewart's
fishing,
going to do something good for us tonight.
When I go fishing, I take a Nikon and a frying pan. I am an optimist. But whenever I see these stellar talents stand up, coming from quote unquote downtown humor resources, how are they going to play to a room full of Tom Cruise and whoever that is he's sleeping with lately?
I think you're probably correct, but you know, Michael Moore was hilarious.
Michael Moore is always hilarious.
All that mustard on his shirt, but that's okay.
What about documentaries? Seen anything good? Recommend anything?
Well, I rather like the documentary Farts of Darkness, The Making of Terra Firma. It's an amazing behind-the-scenes feature-length documentary, and you can buy it safely and securely at www.troma.com.
Beyond.
And have you seen All the Love You Can, a documentary about the Cannes Film Festival?
No, well, tell me about this.
I don't
know
how the major media avoided it, but it's a feature-length documentary about how the corporate side of Cannes, the Cannes Festival, interacts with the independents, and Troma being one of those. And it's a really very, very scintillating documentary.
You're involved with the Cannes Film Festival because, as you just described, there are some films that you discovered there. Do they embrace you? Do they accept you there?
Well, the French, I'm the Jerry Lewis of the crappy movie business. You know,
yeah, but Jerry
France
Lewis
and,
wasn't crappy movies.
I just meant me. Look at me.
I maintain that, you know, when
no,
people...
Jerry Lewis was brilliant. He was great.
When absolutely people talk right about how the French key into somebody like Jerry Lewis or Clint Eastwood or whatever, it's because you don't need English to understand what they're all about. And I maintain it's the same thing for your work. Speak
well, the Cinémathèque Française has done a couple of retrospectives of our films. I've been on the radio with Claude Chabrol and all that kind of stuff. Truman Capote, I think, may have been involved. Did he actually write Touch Me in the Morning? No, that's Giuseppe Andrews.
You know what? I think that the European audiences will be the very first to really embrace you. Otherwise, America is going to wait till like Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, you'll be 99 years old and a rocker with a walker.
Well, you're right, actually. It's very true. We do get a lot of film festivals. New York's about the only place that has not had a Troma retrospective.
Do you think you'll ever show it?
Although, actually, the Anthology Film Archives showed 18 Troma movies about 5 years ago.
And really?
Jonas Mekas, he says that we're Brechtian.
Okay. What about the...
Man, I'm so juiced up I could work for Tropicana. Thanks for letting me talk so much.
What about...
Wish my wife would.
What about the... what is it?
I didn't say that. That's David said that. Harvey Weinstein said that, Pat. It's not me.
What's the film festival? Tribeca Film Festival. You think you'll ever get a shot at that?
No. They're all about promoting... You know, Tribeca is the most expensive real estate. Well, I shouldn't be talking about this.
No, certainly.
Terrible thing.
No, it's super expensive, but they have their film festival there.
They should have that film festival. They want to help New York. They should have it up in the South Bronx. That's where they ought to have the film festival. Get De Niro, get all those guys buying the property in the South Bronx. They're the ones who I think need a little more help, or maybe Bedford Stuyvesant. I don't think we need a 20th Century Fox being promoted in Tribeca. But of course, what do I know?
But you've been based out of New York for all of the career of your
New York's the best place to make movies.
And they have not embraced you.
I don't think, not yet. I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure that thanks to David Lee Roth, Lloyd Kaufman's going to be a patron saint in New York.
From zero to hero. How do you apply for something like the Tribeca Film Festival, or do you have to await for their summoning?
You know, I don't know. You know, I really am not into the mainstream world, and I also find it unconscionable.
Stop that, right there. You are the mainstream. At this point in time, judging purely by the demographic that we appeal to, we've got everything from the 19-year-old downhill snowboard gold medal champion from the Olympics to the truck drivers and the Port Authority Union cats, so they're all tuned into here. We've got literally millions of people listening in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're now the patron saint. You're the hood ornament Lloyd.
Thank you.
You are the mainstream. When I say Toxic Avenger, everybody knows exactly who we're talking about. And this is a crowd where if I ask Animal, who's the guy in Led Zeppelin? He goes, Mick. I'm serious. You are the mainstream now.
Do you
sense this happening? Do you sense that there's more and more awareness of what you've been doing?
Troma has a huge reach, and we've had a huge influence. I mean, if you talk to Peter Jackson or Quentin Tarantino or a lot of the well-known directors around the world,
certainly,
they are very much influenced by our movies. But it's very hard to get our films to the public. These giant conglomerates are the gatekeepers, and you will not see a Troma movie on HBO. They've told us, you're Capote. I mean, you're kaput. You know, kaput. By the way, Capote in German means kaput, means death. And if you spell it backwards, it's Tupac. And Capote is actually it's about the great black poet. And I don't understand why they have that little fat gay guy playing the part. I do not get it.
Probably a sequel.
You know,
and
the producer of
it.
Capote. The producer of Capote was production manager on The Toxic Avenger. And I do believe that there was a big influence on Capote. Toxie wears a tutu, and I believe Truman wore a tutu.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of roads lead back to your version of Rome here.
Roads.
What about filming? Lloyd, talk to me about filming. You shoot almost everything that you do on 35mm stock. That's high-end work there, right?
Yes, sir.
What about what you see with people shooting on DVD? Are you seeing movies that are outstanding to you? I saw Collateral.
It's starting to happen. Speaking of documentaries, Lolly Love, which is an amazing documentary by Jenna Fisher and James Gunn. Lolly Love is a DV movie, and it's wonderful. It's beautiful, looks good, the sound is good. How about Giuseppe Andrews, whose film is coming out soon? He's made like 10 films. Touch Me in the Morning is out on DVD, and a new one called Period Piece. DV, shot on DV, they're marvelous. They're great. And
yeah,
they cost nothing. They cost nothing. They're
it's
wonderful.
Becoming more and more difficult to figure it out, too. All of Paris Hilton's work is on DVD?
Well, of course. But she's sort of the Orson Welles. He was born with a silver spoon. He was a rich guy, and she's born with a silver dildo.
I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman. Do you got a few more minutes for us?
I think I can just about squeeze you in, David.
I'll race you to the end of the commercial.
Go ahead.
Radio. Be Young in the front there. Roth Radio. Lloyd Kaufman on the side. Be Young. Roth Radio. Talking New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston. Hello, Cleveland. Always wanted to say that on the radio. Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, worldwide, davidleeroth.com. I'm sitting with Lloyd Kaufman. He's the main man, the face, the game player behind Troma. Patron saint of the Roth Show. Welcome to the Lion's Den, Lloyd.
Thank you, David.
Tell me what Surf Nazis Must Die, the director's cut, offers us.
Well, it's those of you who are into surfing. It is magnificent surfing footage. The same cameraman who did Big Wednesday, you know, the great surfing movie, did the surfing footage for Surf Nazis Must Die.
What is the plot of Surf Nazis Must Die? This is a Troma film, right?
It's the surf ninjas of California's blown up in a earthquake, and there's been horrible things, and the surf ninjas are kind of running things until the surf Nazis take over the waves. And then of course there's Big Mama, who's a big fat black woman smoking a pipe of cigar, and she cleans up the... This is a movie from the 80s. It's very 80s.
I'm very familiar with this.
Like Spielberg's Hook.
I think I'm pretty familiar with this, but also I remember back in 1965, I think it was Beach Blanket, whatever, where there was always the bike gang versus Frankie and Annette. You had Annette Funicello,
yeah,
and Frankie Avalon, and then
Surf Nazis. You're right.
The guys with the black leather jackets. I think they were called the Rats or the Rat Pack. Those were the guys that I preferred to be. I'm going to level with you, Lloyd. I didn't want to be the white guys in West Side Story. I wanted to be Puerto Rican. Is there a place for me at Troma?
Well, we're going easy. We're going with the narration Poultrygeist, and then let's see, because you know, we're working on a new project right now.
Tell me, what?
Well, it's sort of inspired by Munich and Syriana and, you know, George Bush and Saddam Hussein and all that stuff. And, you know, we've got this wonderful animated, it's like a cartoon. We've got some Danish investors who are very interested in doing a cartoon.
You have some Danish cartoonists who need the work, I take it, right?
Jihad Joe, and it's a Mohammed Mad World. And actually, that's Harvey Weinstein's idea.
The opening's going to be a riot.
Some Cat Stevens music. I want to hear some Cat Stevens music.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. When are you going to move into porno, Lloyd?
Well, you know, until these companies, you know, Vivid, with all due respect, Vivid makes $1 billion a year. Why can't they make a good movie? In other words, why don't they do a 35mm and have a good script? And why doesn't Jenna Jameson, who is certainly talented, why did she turn down the script? We sent her the script to Citizen Toxie, Toxic Avenger Part 4. She turned that down. This is a woman who makes her living by, you know, having ejaculate on
okay,
her face.
Okay, but let me ask you. What was she
in other words, these guys ought to be making good movies.
Because we talk to all of the best girls here on the show. We are the patron saint of other art forms as well as film, Lloyd. And
well, I've never seen a porno film, so I don't know. I've heard, though, that they're not very good at
it. As far as plot lines, they all end up the same.
Well, you know, there's absolutely no reason why they can't be good. It's a pity. You know, there's certainly some good novels out there, right?
Well, I think that some of these girls are destined to move into the mainstream, and I consider what you do for a living absolutely mainstream.
Well,
the idea that they don't accept you is part of what you sell. You've got the underground. You've got the alternative. You've got the hard wire to what everybody really likes to think and do, okay? And these girls are just about to make that transition, all right? Is there a place in trauma for some of these gals? If Janine Lundemiller or Jenna Hayes or one of these said, sure, I'd take a shot at this. I'd take a crack at this. No pun intended.
They'd have to be prepared to, you know, work for very little. It's all about the art. It's about the movie. All the money goes into the movie. People are sleeping on the floors and eating cheese sandwiches three times a day and learning how to defecate in a paper bag for art. Seriously. It's like Trauma Dance. The Trauma Dance Film Festival is totally idealistic. No entry fees, pardon the pun, getting back to porno. No, everything is free. You can see the movies for free.
Well, let's back up. No reference to porno here. Tell us what.
Throbbing to hear more.
Tell me what the Trauma Dance Festival actually is, Lloyd. Go ahead.
It's eighth year. It takes place during the Sundance Film Festival in the same place, Park City, Utah, except that it's all free and it's all staffed by volunteers. And now the Tromanali has just finished in Berlin, right next door to the Berlin Alley.
Are there action figures of all your characters? This is next.
Toxic Avenger
and different characters?
There have been. And actually, Soda Toys has a Toxic Avenger collectible, a very nice collectible Toxic Avenger, but I think it's very limited edition.
And do you have a website where we can get all the right t-shirts to celebrate our priorities?
Everyone knows www.troma.com has the finest of merchandise.
Excellent. And we're doing Poultrygeist. I'm available next week to do the narration.
Well, let's do it. You've heard it on the radio, folks. David Lee Roth is going to get
Poultrygeist. How's that sound? I'm trying to sound scary.
We are writing. Gabe Friedman and the Trauma Dreamweavers are writing right at this very moment your narration, so be prepared.
You make it sound like a Charles Dickens novel where it's really cold and there's Bob Cratchit hunched over a little dais, you know, with a quill pen, and I'm very excited.
It's
about
all inspirational.
This.
It's going to be great.
And I'm sure my agent at CAA, Darth Vader and Sons, is going to be fascinated with this.
Just tell him you're a member of the National Association of Music, Books, Literature, and Art, and NAMBLA.
They'll never get the joke. Or maybe that's the funny part.
I have a feeling they're in CAA, I think, is founding member of that outfit.
What about on the internet? Now that they're starting to show films and so forth, what's your take on that, Lloyd? Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Because it's a much smaller format. And let me speak to this one second. When they switched over to CDs, you know, the jewel cases that are just a little small size here, we lost an amazing amount of artwork and everything. When record covers were happening for vinyl, you had an art project every single time, especially the double albums that you would open up and you had the liner notes and you had the photographs, etc., etc. When they moved down small size and format, it's much more easier to transport. Hey, no more art project. Everything is just a real small little logo or something very, very simple. Is that going to take place with the film when we start watching on the internet with small screens?
Well, the problem is, and I agree with you 100% of what you just said, because I want to get invited back on your show, but and I'm a groveler of the highest order. But my point is the industry, the music, art, movie, entertainment industry is controlled and owned by five or six giant devil-worshipping, vertically integrated international conglomerates. It is very hard for the public to get a variety of music. One of the ways to get it is through the file sharing, through the and you know, Metallica started as a garage band. They didn't have the big companies behind them, and now they're suing their fans. The same who are you know, trying to learn about music. In other words, I'm kind of into the sharing of files and the sharing of music through the internet, and so that more artists can, so that we the public get more variety. And so, I agree with you. Vinyl, my daughter, who's working very hard for Darfur right now, she is very into vinyl. She listens only to vinyl.
Is it because of the packaging, or just because it's got a better sound for her?
No, she loves the sound. No, she's got a Victrola, and she listens to it on. She loves the whole thing. The whole. I mean, and she's got your music. She's got the Ella Fitzgerald. She's got, you know, all the.
Do you see a disintegration of the product when they transfer for something small on a screen like a computer, or people are going to be
Regal
watching
Cinemas. That. Have you been into a Regal Cinema? Or there are two movie companies in the entire world now. There's Regal and the other one. Sony, Lowe's, whatever. I mean, those screens are, you go in the theater, they smell like a locker room. The screens are tiny. The prints are all scratched up. I mean, it's awful. And people are yapping in there, and people are bringing babies in.
From what I'm told, that they're as small as the old porno theaters.
Well, again, I haven't been in there. I wouldn't know. But,
I would. No, you're absolutely correct.
What are you wearing, David? Tell me, real slow.
I'm wearing Sex Panther.
Oh,
it's, got, it's got a heady aroma here.
Have you seen Bloodsucking Freaks, by the way?
No, what is Bloodsucking Freaks?
That is a movie that, it's one of the few films, it's a trauma film, made right around the time we started the company in 1974, directed by Joel Reed. And it's, there are certain movies that, 20 years later, you look at them and it's like, you know, like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner,
sure.
Stanley Kramer, everything by him. It's like, but you look at Clockwork Orange and you look at Bloodsucking Freaks, those movies are more shocking today than they were when they were made.
I'm going to agree with you. I saw Clockwork Orange just recently. I actually read the book as a kid before I even saw the movie, and they had invented their whole own language, etc. The book itself is still an underground hit.
Oh, yeah.
It's still a really interesting thing there. You ever going to do a quote-unquote legit, or are you content in the niche that you've created?
Well, I'm working now. Please don't tell anyone. It's a big secret. I'm working now on a Jane Austen project, the Schlock and Schlockability, the Revenge of Jane Austen. It's going to be an interesting. We're going to film in somewhere over there across the pond, and I think it's going to be something very, very special.
I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman. Lloyd, thanks so much for joining us here.
Well, thank you for plugging Poultry Guys. I mean, thank you for being a narrator of Poultry Guys.
This is going to be superb, and we're going to keep everybody posted. Where might I expect that Poultry Guys would have its grand opening? Because I got to set the schedule aside here.
Well, you know, again, we take a long, since nobody wants our movies, we take a very long time to edit. But I would guess we'll have the film completed, 35mm answer prints, probably fall of 2006.
Outstanding. And would we have a grand opening here in New York as well as Los Angeles and Dallas, Texas?
Well, I would suggest that New York, we have the grand opening, and that maybe we have the David Lee Roth free radio.
I'm feeling junket. You know, it's a good word, junket. What
be,
do you think?
I'm feeling more like Jell-O, but either way, it's. I'd say we get involved. Let's create a grassroots, you know, a real opening that's, again, not money, but volunteer. You're EMT. You public service person, right?
Yeah.
Let's do something that helps the community, and a Poultrygeist opening, and somehow maybe we can help the community by having it rather than just have red carpets and chandeliers and the big champagne that they've got in Berlin. It's all about limousines, and maybe we can do something seriously.
Absolutely, we can do something.
Not to
here.
Mention, we have to fight a little bit against this fast food thing because we've got a nation of fatsoes.
I think you got an excellent point, Lloyd. Always the best. You got to come back soon when you're done from Florida. Can we see you next week?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry.
Who loves you, Lloyd? Who loves you, friends? Roth Radio. That's who. Yeah.
Thank you.
The cold veranda in the dark has gone down to the middleman.